only one life to offer. Take it, dear Lord, I pray. Nothing from thee withholding, thy will I now obey. Thou hast freely given thine all in all for me. Claim this life for thine own, to be used, my Savior, every moment for thee.
Thank you, Carrie. Only one life. You know, we all only get one life here to use for the Lord, and we must use it wisely. We want to give our life. You know what? We think about Jesus, and he had his life, and he gave it fully for us. He gave everything. My friend, I hope that you understand that a part of the gospel story. I don't know how familiar you are with the Word of God, but the Word of God, on the main story, is the story of Jesus. That's what we have here in our hands, is the story of Jesus, and how God in his love loved us so much in spite of our sin. You know, you read through a lot of the Old Testament and you come to understand something, that man is sinful and our way is devastating to us. In fact, we prove ourselves that we are wicked. A lot of the Old Testament is, excuse me, about that. We understand that we fall short. The New Testament comes in with Jesus Christ coming and preaching and teaching himself, saying that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And if mankind would understand that his way could not get him to heaven, his way would show him that he's guilty of the law, guilty of his, cannot do it, but understanding that what Jesus did on the cross was good enough. If people would understand that and trust him for their salvation, not their works, understanding that what Jesus did on the cross for them, that if they would believe and receive that and come to depend on that, then they could have eternal life. God's tremendous plan of redemption in his word. And there's a lot more that we could talk about that. I ask you, if you're here today, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? In other words, are you looking to Jesus as your way to eternal life, to get to heaven? Jesus again said, I am the way. Religion has put all kinds of ways into eternal life. Most religions would teach some sort of a work. But again, God's word teaches it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We've got to come to understand and trust and place our dependence upon Jesus. And so my question to you is, have you ever placed your faith and dependence upon the only one that can provide eternal life? That's Jesus. If you've never done that, then I trust you would do it today. I would love to take a Bible and show you, or find somebody to show you how you can trust in Jesus today. It's not some big ceremony and it's not some big work. It's simple faith and trust. It's dependence upon the one who can. That's what we're here about today. We're here to honor and glorify the Lord. All right, we're looking at our theme, reflecting perfect love. This year, we are looking at God's love. In fact, we want to discover, and I would suggest to you that there's a mountain to uncover of his love that is so huge, so vast, so big. We have songs that we sing concerning God's love, and God's love, we sing one song, God's love vast as the ocean. Love described in so many big ways. Well, this year in our theme, we're kind of describing God's love as a huge mountain that we want to trek. We want to find the depths and the heights and the everything of God's love. And so this year in 2023, we really want to discover God's love. And I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot that comes from it. Not that every message is going to focus on God's love. In fact, today, My message is not really about God's love, but we are this year in 2023 going to be taking a journey, and I know it's not a real physical journey. We're not going to put backpacks on and get hiking shoes on and get a walking pole or stick with us, but we are spiritually, as we sit here, we're going to take a journey up the mountain of God's love, if I could. And so you're here. I introduced that last week. We look forward to it. Just as a snapshot, there's going to be some times of lots of sun as we trek through a field, maybe of wildflowers at the bottom, or maybe in on the side of the mountain. That's going to be neat, and everyone's going to stop and want to take pictures of the beauty. Everyone's going to want to stop and soak in the sun, because we know that once we take off again after lunch, maybe we're going to be going through some dark and steep pockets of timber that are going to be rather cool, and maybe even cold, maybe going to be dark, maybe animals are going to be in there. I don't know, but there's going to be some different things that we're going to see. And every part of it is going to show us another nuance of God's amazing love. And it takes all of it. There's going to be some mountainside that is going to be bare rock that is just going to, we're going to look up at that and it's just going to be absolute glory. There's going to be times of rest. There's going to be times of aggression. There's all kinds of things that is going to help paint the picture of God's love with us. Now, I'm asking you to join me in this journey. Would we truly want to discover the love of God? Now, there's a big reason for it, a couple of reasons. Why do we need to understand God's love? Folks, I want to tell you something. I really think that one of the big reasons why we struggle in life with a lot of things in life is because we don't understand God's love to us. I believe, and I'm not looking for some one hidden thing that will be the answer to everything in life, but I really mean this. Everybody listen, I really mean this. If we would truly understand God's character and come to really understand who God is, it would change everything in our lives. A lot of the reasons why we doubt, fear, struggle is because we don't understand God, or we just flat out don't believe what's been made clear to us. Oh, my friends, join us in this journey to understand God's love. It would help you. You might be here this morning and you say, I am troubled by doubts. Doubts about my life, doubts about my salvation, doubts about heaven, doubts about truth, and I have doubts. My friend, come this year to learn about God's love, because it will help you understand the truth of His love and provide security for you. There are other people that live in fear. Some people live in frustration. My friend, come and learn of God's love, because it can help clear that up when we understand that God's ways are perfect. We all need to come to understand God's love, but can I suggest to you there's another reason? We come to understand and learn and to take soak it all in. But there's a key part of this, and that's going to be the practical part. And as you looked at the picture, there's a lake down below that's perfectly clear, and it's crystal clear, and you can see the reflection of that big mountain of God's love. And that is the illustration of our reflecting that love to other people. That, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, that when we live God's love. And of course, we can't live it unless we know it. But when we in turn start living it to one another, when we start living that love out, that is just like a reflection of God's person. I mean, notice the verse says, no man hath seen God at any time. We don't have the ability to just, God's walking into the auditorium today. Now, He's here. But we don't see Him, because that's not the way God was. He's a spirit. We went all through that last week. But God has given us different avenues to see Him, and one of the greatest avenues to see who God is when God's people live out His love to other people. And when I live my love to Joe, and Joe lives his love to Rick, and on around, when we're living God's love to other people, all of a sudden it becomes kind of like a portrait of who God is to the world. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to display our good God to a lost and dying world? So we need to, you've got to join us as we go up the mountain. Would you do that? Would you be willing to join us as we go? Now this morning is another preliminary. You know how before you go on a big journey, you kind of have meetings? Meetings to talk about it, meetings to make sure that, you know, you're getting ready, you have all the right equipment and right things so that you can be prepared for it. This morning is one of these preliminary meetings that I want to have with you as we get ready. In fact, this morning doesn't really have anything to do with love, but it has a lot to do with your perspective. I want you to think just for a moment, okay? We've got that. We don't have our others. Do you guys have the picture? You want to throw that up there, Zach, or not? If it's hard, don't worry about it. You don't need to see it. But I want you to picture getting ready to go up this big mountain. And how many of you ever have been at the feet of some majestic mountains? I don't care what mountains they were. How many of you have ever been at the feet of some majestic mountains? Probably a lot of you. Maybe a lot of you haven't, but I'm talking about something. I don't know. Does Pennsylvania have majestic mountains? I'm sure that there's some beautiful places, but we're talking about big, vast mountains, you know, that are big. You know, there's a lot of perspective that people could have. You know, even in a group like this, I want you to just imagine with me what it would be like if a group of this many, you know, let's say 60, 70 people got together let's say that all of us were in and we decided we're going to go up these mountains, all right? You see these mountains there? I don't know about you, but those mountains are pretty, those are big. Can you imagine going up those things? Let's say that we would have a meeting this morning. And let's say that we're physically going to go up these mountains. And we're about getting ready, and we've got our equipment and everything, and we're having this meeting. And I polled everybody, and I kind of said, all right, I want to know your thoughts about this. Do you think that there might be some different perspectives on what we're about ready to do? I think so. You know, I think that there would be some of you that would say, Pastor, that's too far. That is too long. I can't do that. No, that's not for me. Pastor, did you look at those mountains? They're too steep. There's no way that we can do that. There would be some that would say, Pastor, there's no way. It's too hard. Did you see the tops of them are covered with some snow on it? How are we going to get through that? There would be others that would honestly say, that's boring. Give me something fun to do. I don't know what fun for you is, but there would be some that would say, I have no desire to go up that thing. I think that we're living a day and age where there's a lot of people that doesn't excite at all. They'd rather sit in their living room and turn on whatever and watch that. And they want to take a video of it for me and I'll watch it, right? Give me some virtual show of the expedition of Faith Bible Church up this mountain, and every week is going to be another episode of some amazing thing. You know, give me one of those. And everybody's into that, but I'm not going up there myself when I can watch it at home. We've got a lot of people with that perspective. There would be some that would say, this is too adventurous for me. I cannot do that. There would be some that has said, you know, this is too limiting. I want to be able to do something better than that. Too rustic, too easy. There would be a lot of different perspectives from a group of people before they would go up. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the perspectives that people had in their heads would make an impact on the trip itself? Let's say that everybody was going to go. Let's say that the group of people, let's say that you're sitting in here today, meant that you're in, you're going. But you all had your perspectives. You know, there's a handful of people over here that's like would rather be sitting in the living room. There's a handful of people that said, this is too hard, I can't do it. There's a handful of people that everybody's got a different perspective, right? Would those perspectives, this is my question to you, would those perspectives change the way the trip goes for those people? You understand my question? Okay, let's say this. You've got the person over here that's like, you know, they got this big backpack on, and they got the frown on and said, I don't know why we got to go up that thing. You know? And, you know, what kind of food did you give me, Pastor? You know? And every step of the way is going to be like this. Is that, and that's a perspective, because they look at it and say, this is not fun, this is too hard, this is too heavy, this is too, I have no fun doing this. Is that going to change the way they see things on this trip? Absolutely. They are so concerned about their backpack and what they have or they don't have, or they're so concerned about this dumb trip. They're so concerned about that, that when they get to a certain point, they are going to miss it, right? And you can understand that they're going to miss it. There are some people that maybe they're not grumpy about it, but they're just sitting there worried. They're scared to death because they're looking at those mountains. They say, I can't do this. I can't do that. There's no way. There's no way that I can comprehend this. I can't do that. What about my leg? What about my knee? What about my shoulder? What about, is that going to influence them as they walk up this mountain? Of course, because all they're going to be thinking about is their problem. You know, they're going to be thinking about it, and every perspective that we have is going to make a difference. Now let's go. We've talked about kind of bad attitudes so far. Let's go to the other side. What about the person that looks like, you know, they showed up at the meeting and they kind of had this look on their face when they showed up, and they looked at the mountain and they went, "Whoa, that's bigger than what I thought. Well, that sure looks neat. How are we going to do this? But I want to. Wow, wouldn't it be neat to get up to that peak right there? And then, by that, I don't know how we can do it, but I want to." Is that going to be make a difference, that perspective, as they do this? It's going to make a big difference because they want to. They don't know that they can, but they want to. I give you all of these preliminaries to tell you a perspective before you begin to climb is everything. It is everything. Folks, I want to tell you that a person starting a trip with a wrong perspective is going to have a rough trip. A person with a good perspective, even though if they don't understand how it can happen, can have a good trip though, and it can make the world of difference on their experience. Can I tell you this morning, before we even get into the scriptures, your perspective on just wanting to learn about God's love is going to make a difference, a huge difference with our endeavor. Again, one person will look at it as a challenge, yet excited to take it on, be pressed but looking forward to every minute of it. Another person will look at it to find every reason to complain and not to want to go. All right, let's leave this. You can keep the picture up there, but let's leave the mountain for just a moment, and let me ask you your perspective on a jigsaw puzzle. Completely different. Some of you absolutely love jigsaw puzzles, right? Give me 1,000. I don't know, how big do they make jigsaw puzzles these days? I don't know. I don't know how many pieces. What's a big jigsaw puzzle? 1,000? Okay. 1,000. A big one to me is my kid's got 16 pieces right now. I'm just kidding. It's hard for me because I'm colorblind. It really is hard. I actually do enjoy puzzles a little bit. If I can understand the colors. Sometimes if we're working on the jigsaw puzzles together as a family, and we don't get big, our jigsaw puzzles are like 300 pieces. That's big for us, just because of the kids and my colorblindness, and Ezekiel's colorblindness, and Malachi's colorblindness, and Nehemiah's colorblindness. So the boys being colorblind doesn't help with a puzzle. And you can understand, if you're colorblind, it's hard to put a puzzle together, because you've got to find the right colors. You've got to find the same colors. So if I'm going to work on something, I got to find a color that I really can understand or see and work on that color, or work on an item. I like looking at lines, you know, at the top of the barn or something like that, and I'll find the ridge line of some sort. That's my kind of do that. But everybody's got a different perspective of jigsaw puzzles, don't they? In fact, there's some of you that love jigsaw puzzles, and you could do jigsaw puzzles every day. There's some of you that say, please, don't put a jigsaw puzzle in front of me, because, and you know what? The attitude that you have before that you start that jigsaw puzzle will indicate your experience, won't it? You have a bad attitude, and you sit down at the table and say, I don't like these. I can't see any colors. You know what? If you have that attitude, the 2 or 3 hours that it takes to put it together, you're going to have a wasted, rotten time. Somebody else might say, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but we're going to have a great time. And we'll do it, and you're trying to push pieces together that don't fit, and they're like, no, that doesn't, you know, and you're having a great time. You know, you don't have to see color. You don't have to love this or that. You have to have a right perspective. A right perspective. How you have what your perspective is going to be huge in this endeavor. Let me ask you a few questions before we look in the scriptures. What is your perspective on life? What is your perspective on life? When I talk about life, I'm talking about things that happen in your life, the circumstances that happen, the things, you know, that you wake up to, that you go to bed, happening in your life, the things that happen at work, the things that happen in your family, the events that take place, what happens in your church, what happens in your home, what happens with everything that goes on. We all have our individual lives, and they're all a little bit different. What's your perspective on that? And I'll tell you, your perspective on it will change the entire journey of life, depending on what kind of a perspective you have. What perspective do you have on our church? What perspective do you have concerning the messages preached and the teaching that's given? What's your perspective? You know what? There are some people that are grumpy about it. There's some people that are excited about it. And it will make an impact on what you get out of it. Some people come in with a bad attitude because why are we on this passage again? And why are we doing this? And why didn't we pick a different theme? And why? And I'll tell you, it's going to ruin your journey. Rather to say, I don't know what we're going to learn, but I'm ready. I'm excited about this. And that person is going to get everything they possibly can out of it. What's your perspective on circumstances in life when they happen at work? What's your perspective on when things happen that are good at work or bad in your home? What's your perspective? How do you see things? What's your angle of perspective as you look at things? Now, we understand perspective, right? I've explained this many times to you, and I want you to understand it. Perspective is your vantage point in what you look at. I have a different perspective than you do right now. Do you understand that? I am higher in elevation than you are right now. So I've got a little different perspective. I am turning that way. You're looking this way. I have a different perspective than somebody that might be up here over there. Or over there. You have a different perspective than he has over there. And the person back there has a different perspective than the person over there. You understand perspective? Does perspective change truth? What's the answer? No. This is what you see is truth, right? You hear it? I feel it. I don't know that you can smell it. But this is truth, right? You see it. Here's truth. But there's a lot of perspective. A lot of perspective on the truth. Okay? Perspective is your vantage point. Perspective has a lot to do with your attitude. I would suggest to you that it has a lot to do with your thankfulness. What you're thankful for. I want us to look at three individuals in Scripture that give us good perspective on life. And there are three things that I think that we get hung up on with our perspectives in life. We get hung up on circumstances. Isn't it true that circumstances have a big effect in our lives? Does the weather have an effect upon your life? Absolutely it does. you wake up to a day like today and it's sunny out, it's nice out, or a day like it's warm out and it's, you know, and it has a different effect on you than the day that you go out and it's negative, you know, 10 degrees or whatever, and the wind is howling, you know, at 40 miles an hour. I want to just tell you that 75 and no wind and negative 10 and 40 mile an hour winds, that's a huge perspective on my end, on my thinking. I have a different outlook on life. Because it's so different. Circumstances are huge in our life. And do circumstances change a lot? What's the answer? Absolutely. Circumstances change all the time. My question is what is your outlook? Are they good circumstances sometimes? Are there times when circumstances are not so good? And guess what? Everybody's got a perspective of how they live with those circumstances. So we're going to look at circumstances in an individual in the Scriptures that deals with circumstances. We're going to look at people. The fact of the matter is there's more than you in this earth. There's lots of people. Are people different all over the earth? Absolutely. In fact, just in this room, there's a lot of different people here that handle things differently. Are people sometimes difficult to deal with? Some more than others. Well, not looking at any of you, of course. Are there some people that are easy to deal with? Delightful to deal with? Can they make a big effect on your day? Absolutely they can. You see, there's a lot of variables here. Circumstances, people. And we're going to look at an individual that people could have made a big impact on him. And then thirdly, I want to bring in God. Now we know that God is always good, but do different people have different perspectives of God? And who He is and what He does? They do. I'll tell you, there are people here this morning that may love God with all their hearts. And can I tell you, there are people, hopefully not here, but there are people in the world that absolutely hate God. They blame God and they can't stand who God is and they want nothing to do with God. Now, three things: circumstances, people, and God. We're going to look at three individuals this morning just for a few moments. And to get a picture, to prepare us in this meeting as we go up this mountain, I want us to look first of all at Job. Go to Job chapter 1. Job, you remember Job? What can you tell me about Job? Now, you say, Pastor, we've got 15 minutes left and we have the Lord's Supper to go. I understand that, and I'm going to do my best. But honestly, this is just a small meeting that we're having as we get ready to go. There's not a lot to it. I just want you to have the right perspective. I want you to think about Job. You help me. Let's paint the picture very quickly. Job, he's there. Was Job a servant of God as we begin Job chapter 1? Was Job an upstanding and right man? Absolutely. Was Job blessed of God in a lot of ways? Absolutely. He had a lot of possessions. In fact, you read the first couple verses of Job chapter 1, and you'll see that he had servants, he had family, children, he had possessions, he had a lot of animals, right? And it goes into the thousands and thousands of this, thousands of that, 500 of this, 500 of that, hundreds of this, hundreds of that. Job had a lot of things, right? And then, of course, we have the evil one coming along. You know, God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job, you know, that he's upright and walks with me and all this. And of course, that whole transaction there. And God is presenting Job. He said, listen, I believe that this man is a man of faith. And the devil says, let's find out. And so he does all this. You know, his only rule is he can't touch Job. He says he can't kill Job. You remember all that happened, and one by one, what happens? You remember the servant that runs in? You know, every time Job turns around, what happens? Servant runs in and says, all your servants, gone. All your animals, gone. All your children gone. Circumstances. I don't think that any of us have had it like Job. In fact, I think it's a very poor reasoning to compare ourselves with Job. I don't know that any of us understand what Job went through. But we would all agree that Job went through a lot. Would you say that circumstances made a big impact on Job's life at this point? When everything's taken away, what do you think? Made a big impact. I mean, it was huge. Devastation had happened. None of us compare, but I want you to think, not trying to make yourself Job, but what things happen in your lives? What things go wrong? What things are difficult? What were the trials this past week? What are the things going on in your life? You can say, Pastor, let me show you my life. And you lay your life out before us and, oh, we have this. And, oh, I see that trial there. And we get everybody's trust. And by the way, it is always unwise to compare. It would be foolish for us to have everybody lay out everybody's lives and the trials that we have and say, well, mine's worse than yours. Don't ever get in the rat race of trying to compare with other people and trying to be the worst. That's kind of twisted, isn't it? Some of us try to be the worst. We try to prove that everything's bad in our lives. My friends, we ought to be doing the opposite. We ought to be showing how good God is in our lives, not how bad God is in our lives. But some of us get into this rut of thinking, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what goes on in my life. I have this and that and all these things. You know, if we were all to lay each of our things out, and again, not comparing, but we would look and we would say, wow, that's tough and that's tough and this person has this and that. We would all lay it out. We would see what's going on and see that. We'd have circumstances that impact our lives. They impact it, but I'll tell you what, our perspective, everybody listen, our perspective on how we look at this laid out life is going to make a huge impact on how we go through this journey. Now, let me ask you a question. What was Job's perspective? I mean, Job, let's be honest. Job was not cheering on everything that got taken away. Somehow, we look at James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, when it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Somehow, we get this idea that to be a good superhero Christian, that everything that comes down the pike, we've got to jump up and shout, you know, yippee-yay. All right, here we go. Bring it on. That God is never asking us to shout for joy like that when trials come, but He's asking us to have a right perspective on where they're coming from, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, what does Job recognize in this? Job is not shouting for joy. Job is not throwing a party by himself and with his wife and these three friends that come. That's not what Job is doing. But did you notice, we all know, what did Job say in verses 20 and 21? You know it, but look down at it. Job chapter 1. What is the right perspective? I propose to you that Job had a good perspective. He struggled, my friends. He struggled for the next 40 chapters, or 30, whatever chapters. Job struggles. Because Job is a person. God never said, you're not going to struggle. But what's your perspective? And I love Job's perspective because we see in verse 20, then Job arose. This is right after all these things are taken away. This is right there at the flat tire. This is right there when you stepped out the door and you had to shovel all the snow. My kids can't wait to go sledding. And I'm okay with it because Melissa and I were discussing this about snow. And she says, you know what, I love to be able to look out. She says, but the only reason I don't like it is because I know for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to have to go out there. Okay, I don't hate it that bad. I know some people really like it, but others don't. But it represents certain things. But it's all about a perspective, right? It's all about a perspective. Job arose. Circumstances come. It just happened. All of a sudden, There's no fun in it anymore. You know, you've been watching it fall, now the work starts. Job arose, verse 20, and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. I can't comprehend that. Did you see that? He worshiped. He worshiped the Lord. There was something positive in it. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. You know, he takes time to recognize some truth. He said, you know what? I didn't have anything when I entered. Do you realize sometimes, folks, we lose certain things? It would do us good to just reckon some truth. You know, sometimes we get something really good, and then we have to use it. Have you ever, you know, you accumulate some money, and all of a sudden you realize you have to end up using it to pay taxes? I remember Melissa and I, we got married. She had a little bit of money, and I don't know what I had, but we got married, and we started our life together, and we did some things, and I remember we had some money, just a little bit of money built up. And the very small Christian school that, and honestly, we didn't know hardly anything about, you know, finances and taking care of things and the taxes that were going to come up. I know that I had paid taxes a little bit growing up, but I didn't, you know, my parents helped me, and I just didn't have a great understanding of it. And so that first year, we weren't thinking, you know, what was happening and how we needed to be setting aside. I worked for a small Christian school, right or wrong, whether they did it the way they were supposed to or not. They didn't take anything out, and I didn't have a clue about that. I just got my paycheck, and we didn't get very much, and we paid for what we could, didn't save. We didn't have money to save on anything. We get to the end of the year, and the combination of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Wyoming, all this stuff come together, and they did our taxes, and we owed thousands. And we were looking at each other like, what? We had just, you know, we had accumulated a little bit of money. We pulled our money together, and we thought that we were, you know, blessed because we had the money. And to write the check, you know, to like get rid of everything to pay taxes was not fun. You feel like you're paying a lot of money for nothing, right? You don't get anything out of it. We look at circumstances, we look at things in life, and we get, and then all of a sudden, it's taken away. It would do us good to stop and realize, you know, and God had to work, because there were many times, in fact, in the next several years that God would do the very same thing. In fact, I think after that, we finally accumulated some money, and then then something happened, and I had to pay this big bill off. And I thought, how is that fair? It seems like every time we have accumulated some money, God has done something. And always the perspective in the beginning has been, everybody listen to this, the perspective was, oh, I hate to use my money. What should be the perspective, though? Praise the Lord that I had the money, right? And it took a while for God to teach me that. But do you see how perspective changes everything? Because a wrong perspective, boy, that's horrible. That's like the hiker going up like this. Why do I have to pay this money? That's not fair. I shouldn't have to do it. Rather, God changed me, and it took several years to change it. And I remember exactly where I was when the final time when I started to realize that it was what was going on. It was at the Fry's cabin. I remember we got everything taken out from under us again, three or four times. And I remember contemplating, spent some time up there, sitting out there in the woods, swinging on the swing there in the porch. And all of a sudden it started to hit me. Sean, your perspective needs to change. You ought to be thankful. Thankful for what God has provided you with. My friend, I want to tell you, your perspective and your thankfulness will have everything to do with your life. Job says, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. You know what he realizes? I didn't have anything in there anyway. What a perspective. But then he says, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friends, I want to encourage you, as we get ready to hike up this mountain, we've got to have a thankful perspective when it comes to our circumstances. We've got to be thankful people. I don't know what your circumstances are, but it's time you stop dragging your feet and putting your head down and saying, woe is me, and you don't understand my life, and I got things bad. To stop and thank God for what you have, because I guarantee you're far better off than many, 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 many other people. If you are here today and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you've got it better than a lot of people in the world. And you're on your way to heaven. It's time to stop your attitude and have an attitude and perspective of Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What about a person with people? I think about Daniel. You remember Daniel's perspective? Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you know anything about the context of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel... And of course, he's one of these Hebrew young guys. He's under the rule at the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar. Goes to Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. You remember all those stories? And then Darius and the Medes, the Persians, they take over. And now he's under Darius. Daniel actually in chapter 6 has it pretty good because God has lifted him up and promoted him to a pretty exalted position under Darius the king. And in the beginning of Daniel chapter 6, we see that there's a group of guys that have it out for Daniel because Daniel has been promoted and he's been lifted up, and they're jealous and they don't like it, and so they do everything they can to make Daniel's life miserable. Are you familiar with the story that I'm talking about? So you got this group of men that are seeking to find occasion to destroy Daniel, and they know that they can't because Daniel is walking in the right way. He's doing everything that he ought to do. There's only one thing: if they can get the king to make a decree that nobody else is allowed to bow down to anybody else but Darius, then they would be punished for it, because they know that Daniel is going to worship and pray to the Lord. They know that. Now that's a quick rendition of the story. I would encourage you to read Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 to get yourself caught up with that, okay? And so they come up with this great plan. They, people in Daniel's life. Now, question, could Daniel be discouraged about this group of people that is out to destroy him? Are there people in life that are opposed to us that do everything they can to make our lives miserable? Yeah, it seems like it. There are people, whether they're trying or not, there are people out there. Circumstances have a big effect in life, but so do people. People just flat out are hard to live with. That's why it's such a big blessing when two people can be married for life and stay together and celebrate 50, 60, 70 years of marriage. It is a tremendous thing because people are hard to live with. People are hard to live with. And these men around Daniel were hard to live with. And they found occasion to go against Daniel. And they did. Daniel could have been very discouraged. He could have been very bothered at it. But what was Daniel's response and what was his perspective? I want you to look at verse 10 quickly. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this is Daniel chapter 6, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and notice, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What was his perspective? He was a thankful individual. We have Job that came and he worshiped the Lord and he said, God, thank you. We have Daniel now dealing with people and he says, God, thank you. My friends, I want to tell you how you're going to make it up the mountain is a perspective. It has everything to do with your perspective. It has everything to do with your thankfulness of what God gives. And Daniel has people in his life that are pretty rough on him, and he's a thankful individual. Kind of amazing. You know why Daniel was thankful? Do you know why Job was thankful? I believe it's because they believed and trusted God. Notice in Daniel chapter 6, look up down at verse 23, the last phrase of the verse. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. This is after Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den. Notice he was taken out. He was not hurt. Why? Because he believed in his God. That's why Daniel could do it. That's why Job could do it. They believed God. They trusted God. You know what? An individual could come up to these mountains and say, I don't know how I can do that, but I'm ready to go. It's a belief in God. It's a belief and trust in who God is. I know our time is getting short. Let's look at this last one. I think about the person of Paul. When I talk about a perspective on God, on what God does and what he doesn't do, I look to Paul. Paul trusted in God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What was Paul's perspective in life? When God allowed certain things in his life, Paul was struggling because he had a physical element in his life that was a struggle. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the first part of that, specifically in verses 6 through 10. Now the context talks about not wanting and receiving glory. In fact, Paul is thankful to God that God allowed him to have something so that he wouldn't be proud. What an amazing thing. How many of us are, do things that God allows in life, do they make a big impact on our lives? Absolutely. God allows certain things. It makes a big impact. And we can have two different responses. We can hate God for it or we can love God for it. Paul had a reason that he could have hated God because God had done some things in his life and then he had this thorn in the flesh. We don't exactly know what it is, but he had this thing that Paul had asked God to take it away three times and God three times said no. And Paul could have turned around at God and said, God, that doesn't make sense. You've called me into the ministry. You called me to do something, but yet you've taken away this. I'm miserable and you've made me like this. God, that doesn't make sense and I'm going to hate you for it. Do you know a lot of people hate God for things that have happened in their lives? Like, that's why I believe when I go knock on a door and somebody comes to that door, cursing me out and wanting me to leave, I believe that the reason why they do that is because God had something happen in their life and they're blaming God for it and they hate God. But you see, there's a perspective. You can hate God for it, or you can love God for it. And I want you, as we read, when we read Paul's response, I want you to think about this. How did Paul respond to God's decision in his life? He says in verse 6, "For though I would desire glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." That was just preliminaries. Saying, it's not about my glory. But he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," well, this is God's words to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now that was God's response. What was Paul's response? "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." My friend, what is your perspective in life? What's your perspective with the circumstances that come in? What's your perspective with people in your life that are tough? What is your perspective with God when He gives and He takes away? What's your perspective? Are you one that says, "You just don't understand. You don't see all that I go through"? And you're right, but I can tell you one thing. God does, and He does see, and God knows, and He's got a perfect plan. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God has a perfect plan. God has a perfect will. And our perspective needs to be one of trusting God, believing God, and saying, "God, I don't know why you're allowing me to go through this, but it's the very best thing." I was just telling one of my children last night, do you know that we never, ever, ever miss out on anything good in life? Everybody listen to that. I'm going to say it again. Do you know that as Christians, we never miss out on anything good? Never. If we would say that we miss out on good, then God is not good then. Whatever happens is the best. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. My friend, can I tell you, it's all about your perspective. It's all about your perspective. The question is, are you a thankful individual? Thankful in your circumstances, God? I don't know why, but like Job, I'm going to be thankful. The people in your lives, the tough people, God, I don't know. I don't know about these people, but I'm going to be thankful. The God in your life that allows things to happen. God, I don't know and I don't understand, but I trust You. It's all about perspective. When we have a right, thankful perspective, life is going to be different. And I'm going to suggest this. Your perspective on this next year and who God is going to make a world of difference on your comprehension and your application of the love of God in and through your life. My plea to you is, would you be thankful people? It's all about perspective. God, would You help us today to be thankful people, trusting people, believing people, understanding that You have the very best in our circumstances with people and with You. God, would You help us? Would You help us? Lord, there's no doubt that are people that are struggling with their perspective on life. God, I pray that today You would encourage them in the things of You, that You would help them to understand that You always give what's best because You are a good God. God, help us as we get ready to take off on this journey, exploring Your love. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we pray. Amen.